For Fallon Corbett, being special sucked. A lot. Because in today's world, her rages, which were coming more frequently, and the dead people that seemed to follow her even into her dreams, were not en vogue. There were other things, too. Things she pretended weren't there. Things that got her into trouble. It was why she was constantly between jobs, always broke and never spending more than a month anywhere. It was also why she lived in a closet-sized room on the fifth floor of a flophouse in the dregs of Sacramento. And, most of all, it was why she was hungry all of the time, and why her most viable dinner option was yet another one of those nasty prepackaged sandwiches. The ones with soggy yellow bread and a limp pickle. She hated them so much that the thought of choking another one down was enough to consider the pros and cons of living. For the third time that day, she contemplated ending it all. She felt as if her life held no purpose. Survival had become increasingly difficult. No one would miss her. Yet, there was that niggling thought in the very back of her mind that told her she was destined for more. That she had a very specific purpose for living. That if she took her life, many more would be lost. So she persevered. And since beggars can't be choosers, Fallon decided to make a dinner run to Dell's Market. Quietly, she slipped into the hallway outside her room, pulling the door shut behind her. Cringing when the rotting wooden floor creaked beneath her stealthy step, she glanced quickly behind her, afraid she'd see her slumlord, the ever-watchful Mr. Sabo. If he caught sight of her, he would corner her, then press her hard about her late rent. Then, even as she tried to put him off, he'd bluster inches from her face, his spittle spraying her cheeks and nose as he told her how, if he let her slide on her already past due rent, he'd have to let everyone slide. And he wasn't in the goddamn business of enabling losers to continue to be losers. Did Sabo actually think she was happy with how her life had turned out? Of course, he never bothered to ask. Then again, it wasn't like she was Chatty Cathy either. But whenever Sabo compared her to a loser, something deep and terrible inside of Fallon wanted to hurt him. Such feelings terrified her. She was not always prone to violence, but sometimes she couldn't control it. Holding her breath, Fallon flattened her slender limbs against the murky hallway, down the five flights of stairs, and then inched her way into the dingy gray vestibule. She nearly collapsed in relief. The old codger was nowhere in sight. For someone who hadn't eaten since peanut butter toast and a banana more than 24 hours ago, she darted out the front door with Olympic sprinter speed. She raised her face to the crisp evening breeze and inhaled. Spring had sprung in Sacramento, but there was more than the fragrant scent of blossoms in the air. The stench of decaying flesh, though barely perceptible, hung like a fog bank along the streets most nights. Recently, her senses had honed, unusually so. Just another anomaly that was Fallon Corbett. With each passing day, it seemed the stench around her grew heavier, more prominent. Tonight, it combined with a dark energy that was so palpable, Fallon hesitated in her step and seriously considered returning to her room. The vitality of it felt like an electrical storm in her body, her veins live conduits. Her breath came hard, fast, and warm. She could feel it curl around her each time she exhaled. But as aware as she was of the dark forces that seemed to follow her no matter where she went, she was even more aware of the auras around her. Not the bright, colorful ones of those who embraced life in happy accord. It was the dark, malevolent ones, like dirty dredge oil that slithered along corners or along the street gutters, careful to stay undetected. From who or what, she wasn't sure.